So have you ever, will you clap if you've ever heard the concept of a chimp brain? Okay, a few of you, and we have a few psychologists that go to West, and so obviously you would have. It is the part of our brain, this is a scientifically very, very, very narrowed down to just a general everyday language. It's much more complex than this, and there is a book called The Chimp Paradox that if you're interested in this, I invite you to read it. Hopefully, as we go through this series, we're going to learn how to be better people, how to better manage ourselves so that the light of God that we believe resides in and abides in each of us can come out more often, but we're also human, and we wrestle with so many things. Living in today's society, it's stressful enough, so hopefully we can learn how to better manage ourselves. But it's this concept that the part of our brain, one of the parts that we're born with, it is called the chimp part of our brain. It is the reactionary part. We all have it, and we are born with it. The way that we're born and ours are all wired very differently, but it's a very beneficial part of us. It aims to protect us and to keep us safe, and we're going to talk about that a little later, but what I want us to understand from the very beginning is that it's real. And it is that part of us that reacts. It processes things from the very beginning. And it is the part of us that reacts first. And so when we find ourselves in situations that we start to feel anxious or excited or angry or afraid, and then things start to happen, that is our chimp brain. And what I hope that this week we'll focus on after today and this conversation is noticing, like, when our human part of our brain is not reacting and our chimp part of our brain has overtaken our human thoughts. Because if we'll start to recognize, well, first of all, if we'll own it, that it happens. And then secondly, if we'll start to be able to recognize it when it happens, we'll be able to stop it. And our relationships will be healthier. Our own mental psyche will be better. We'll just be all around healthier mentally and emotionally and spiritually. So all the movie clips that we've shown today have been examples, or TV clips, have been examples of people reacting out of their chimp brain. I don't know if you've seen the movie, and we're going to show it at the very end, but with Jack Nicholson, finish this sentence. You can't handle the truth. I mean, it's an iconic time. And so there are times when our chimp brain takes over, and it's actually not necessarily a bad thing, but still the way that we let it take over, it takes over, it matters. And so I wanted to show you this iconic scene from the movie Bridesmaids. Will you clap if you've ever seen that? You laugh. Somebody laughed. It's one of my favorite movies. I did not realize at the time what and how vulgar parts of it were. And so my best friend and I took our daughters together. I think they were like 12 or 13. And they were not old enough to go to this theater. And this was a long time ago, and right when Wes was first getting started. And I would go to the movies in Birkdale, and there were two new West people there in the theater, like two rows in front of us. I was so proud of my poor decision. And I say that because the movie clip that we're getting ready to show you, it is Chimp Brain 101. It is what happens when we're hurt and we're afraid. But because of the language in this video, like, we can only show you 45 seconds of it. And then Dave, who edits out all the profanity of said video, he's like, Andrea, there's just no way. It'd be like every other millisecond, a beep. And so we're going to show you the first 45 minutes with sound, and then after that, I'm going to keep talking, but I want you to keep watching the scene. We just couldn't play the sound with it because it was indeed so bad, but it makes a point. Take a look. So some comedic relief. Bridesmaids, I mean, it is absolutely inappropriate with the language, but it's a powerful story about a friendship and how it starts out great and then different factors come into play and neither person navigates it well. Do you have any of those relationships in your life? People that you wish you were closer to? People that you wish circumstances were different with? And you find yourself wondering, how can they be better? Well, the first thing that we can do is manage our own chimp brain. Later on in the series, we're going to talk about how chimp brains interact with one another, and we're going to talk about our interpersonal relationships and how to navigate it when we're willing to manage our chimp brain, but the people on the other side are not necessarily willing and able to manage theirs. There are different tactics that we take in that, but the bottom line is this is a real thing. It exists within each of us. It is innate. It is scientifically proven. And there's not really anything that we can do about it other than learn about it, figure out how to manage it, and then do so. So I want to show you a couple of images that actually give credence to this idea. This is a very generalized version of our brain. And it shows the parts that we're going to talk about. So there's like three parts. The human part, the computer part of our brain that like processes everything, and then the chimp part of our brain. The chimp part is the limbic system. The frontal part is our human system where we think about things and where we learn empathy and compassion and honesty and the way to deal with others. And then the parietal part of our brain, which is like the computer system, and it processes all the things. I want to go to the next image. This is what I want you to think about for the next 6 weeks. Like these three things exist in each of us. The human, the part that like thinks and calmly processes and reacts using the computer, but recognizing that the very first thing, the very first part of each of us that processes anything we see or we feel or we experience, it's that chimp part of our brain. Let's go to the next image. We have input. Somebody says something. Somebody does something to us. And what happens when that happens to us is our chimp reacts. So part of this is our learning how to understand our chimp, get to know your chimp. In the chimp paradox, they talk about like giving your chimp a name, so that you can call it out when it's happening. And one of the ways that you can do that is to start asking yourself, do I want to feel this way right now? I use the example of the balloons on Lane's wedding day, and because it's innocuous. I mean, I believe in transparency and vulnerability as your pastor, and I'm so human. Like, I react and don't have great reactions, and sometimes I can and just not be the kind person that I would like to be and strive to be. There's only so much of my dirty laundry I'm willing to share with you up here, because then it goes on the internet for perpetuity and those things come back to bite you later, trust me. But I will use the example of the balloons at Harris Teeter, because I really could have lost my crap that day. I go there, it's like 8 a.m., they opened at 6. In my mind, there had been plenty of time for them to get their systems in place so that I could buy 3 balloons. We had to be at the wedding venue at 11. I was determined, as mother of the bride, that at the mailbox there were going to be balloons for her special day. Lane was not one of those bridezillas, so when I'd ask her these questions, she'd be like, no, it's okay, we don't have to have that. That's a little passive-aggressive to mean, I really do want it, but I don't want to put you out. It's kind passive-aggressive, and I would say this to her. She doesn't want to bother anybody. She doesn't want to be a burden. So she's like, no, it's not. It's okay. But it wasn't okay. I knew she wanted balloons, and I wanted her to have them. 20 minutes should be long enough to blow up balloons. I know that because it is our part-time job when we get ready for the back-to-school bash, where over 1,200 kids come to get free tennis shoes and school supplies. We blow up balloons that morning. We blow up hundreds of balloons in a short amount of time. So I had these expectations of the employee. So when I got back to the little flower station and I was ready for my balloons, the lack of urgency did not sit well. And then the fact that it felt like that sloth in the movie and just going slower and slower and slower. And I kept watching the clock tick. And one of my bad habits is I am not on time often. Working on it, getting better, but still it's a growth area. And Lane is punctual. She's always on time. And out of respect for me, she doesn't fuss at me about it, but I can tell that I frustrate her when I'm not on time. And so I'm determined I'm going to get back to the house with everything I'm supposed to have before we go to the venue. And things were not going well. So that triggers me. And I start to have all these feelings around three balloons. I didn't want to disappoint my daughter. It was her special day. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event. We wanted it to be special. All those feelings around that one thing, does that ever happen to you? What causes it to happen to you? And when we start getting those feelings, that's our chimp brain. And it is taking whatever is happening and it's putting it in our brains and processing it first through that chimp-like system. If we can learn to regulate ourselves, to have like a filter, and learn to not necessarily react just because all these things are going in our head, we will be happier. Now, the only reason I can tell you that's this story, I think, about the Harris Teeter thing is that I didn't lose my stuff. I was close, so close, especially when she just wouldn't give me the balloons that she had blown up. And I finally just said, ma'am, I have to have these now. I'm already late. My daughter's getting married, which I'd already explained first, but I was going to try that angle again, the pity angle. My daughter's getting married. It's 30 minutes away, and I've got to go. And we just weren't communicating well. But I bit my tongue, because what I wanted to say was, how long could it possibly take to blow up three balloons? But that's ugly and hateful. And that's not who we are. But we are wired to not always be warm and fuzzy and fluffy and kind and loving. We're all wired that way because this is the part of our brain that was created when we as humans in our mother's womb. The part of our brain that is created to protect us and to keep us safe. It's that innate gut instinct. And so it filters things, not with the warm fuzziness and not always with kindness either. That's why the brain is such a beautiful thing. And I told you I was like dummying this down because, first of all, I'm not a neuroscientist. And secondly, we don't have enough time to go into all this. But our brain functions as one organ. But there's so many parts to it. And they interact together. And so we've got this chimp part, but then we've got, will you go back to the other image of the brain, please? We've got this frontal part and the parietal part, that those two working together help us get out of those emotions of the limbic system and process things rationally with our moral code. I told you in Friday's email that this series was going to be taking psychological principles and marrying them with our spiritual constructs. So like our moral code, who do you want to be? What do you want to be known for? How do you want to be known? Like, I don't want to be known as the woman who loses her stuff at Harris Teeter because they don't blow up the balloons fast enough. That's not the reputation that I want. I want to be known as someone who was kind and compassionate. That's not necessarily the chimp part of our brain. That's that frontal part. Years ago, after Christmas, one of my former colleagues and dear friends, I found out that his wife had been involved in a tragic accident. She had fallen down a flight of steps when they were away on their Christmas vacation, and she was in a coma for over a week. They did not know if she was going to live. If she lived, they did not know if she would be able to process things in a healthy way. I saw my friend a few months later. She did come out of the coma, returned home, and I saw my friend, and he's like, things just aren't the same. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, she's just not herself anymore. And I didn't understand what he was talking about until I read The Chimp Paradox. He went on to tell me, like, she just wasn't the carefree, loving, connectional person, that she was just cold and aloof and seemed to have no feelings. And so whereas her physical presence returned home, her emotional and mental presence did not. And I couldn't imagine what it must be like to exist in that space. That's what happens. That's that frontal part of our brain, the part that processes and gives that empathetic and loving response. Hers was damaged permanently, and it changed the way that she acted. And she doesn't understand that at all. But we can understand. And sometimes we find ourselves in times and places that, like, we want to be right more than we want to be kind. And as followers of Jesus, like, that's just not part of how and who we are wired to be. Now, please don't hear this as we need to be doormats in people's lives either. And I told you, in several weeks we're going to talk about interpersonal relationships, because we can manage ourselves, but we can't manage other people. There are two Jesus stories I want to tell you. One I'm going to read to you in just a second, but the other one, it was when Jesus first began his public ministry. He went back to his hometown. He was excited about it. He went back and he was teaching and talking to them in the synagogue. And he was quoting the prophets, Elisha and Elijah. And he was so just stoked to start his public ministry. And at first, they're like, oh, wow, he's a really good teacher. We're okay with this. This is really cool. He's from here. And then he started saying things about that God's love was for people beyond their little tribe of Israelites. And that did not sit well with them at all. And you read that they ran Jesus not only out of the temple, but ran him out of Nazareth completely. They were going to try to kill him. It was his first act of public ministry, and they were out to kill him. And he just escapes through the crowd, we read in Scripture. He didn't react. He didn't let his chimp brain take over and argue with them. He would not have won because they thought they were right. So what did he do? He just left. So look, part of learning about our chimp brains and one another's chimp brains is putting healthy boundaries present in our lives so that we don't let people keep hurting us over and over and over again. That's part of it. But like I said, we're going to talk about that in week 4. Today, the part that we talk about is owning our stuff. and owning that we are the ones that cannot lose our cool. We are the ones that we can recognize when we start having icky feelings inside. We can stop them and not let them take over who we are. And we can learn to process things with compassion and grace. I want you to hear the story, the second story that I wanted to share with you this morning of Jesus managing his chimp brain. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts. This is from Mark 11. He entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. I want to stop and give some context to this. This is Holy Week. It's Passover week. Everybody from all the 12 tribes of Israel would come to the temple for the Passover feast and week. It was a big deal. And you had to have something to sacrifice when you came to the temple. Like you had to have an animal to sacrifice. And not all of the folks were wealthy enough to buy the best unblemished animal for sacrifice. And so they would be for sale there in the temple courts. Years ago at Williamson's Chapel, they wanted to open a bookstore in one of the empty classrooms to provide people with resources, and any profits that were made from it would go to missions. People were furious. How dare you sell things in the temple? It's not in the Bible. Jesus turned over the tables because people sold things in the temple. Wes clearly is very different because we have souls set up once a month out there in the commons area and no one has complained. But I want to give you context for this. Jesus was not upset because they were selling things in the temple. That was the norm. You bought your sacrificial animal to then go into worship for the sacrifice. I mean, some of these people would travel for days. There was no way that they could carry a sacrificed animal for that purpose. But Jesus got angry. But his anger is not his chimp brain. Let's listen to the rest of the story. Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "It is not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him before they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. What he was frustrated about, and he reacted in anger, not chimp brain anger, but anger that had come in through his chimp brain and been processed with the human part of his brain, so that he reacted sternly and with force, but not meanness or cruelty. Because the people that were selling the doves there in the temple courts, they had basically marked up the price of all the doves so much so that the poor who were there trying to buy their dove for sacrifice, they couldn't afford them anymore. But because they were so devoted in their faith, they would give everything they had just to get the bird to go into the temple courts to sacrifice it in the appropriate way. And Jesus is like, "You are not going to take advantage of other people just so you can make yourself richer." And so he threw it all down. And he said, "I'm not going to let you treat people this way anymore." I want to show you one final clip this morning. It has one word in it that we deem inappropriate and one that it makes my hair stand on end. But to mute it unfortunately, takes out the passion of the response. It's one we referenced earlier. This is an example of someone hearing things, processing it, and reacting, maybe not ideally, but reacting because they believed in something so much. They stood up for what they believed in. Over these next few weeks, that's what I hope we learn how to do, to channel our chimp brain and use it for good. Take a look. Sometimes we have emotions that are processed because of very difficult situations we find ourselves in. There's a fine balance and a fine line between navigating those well with empathy and love and compassion and navigating them out of our chimp brain. May we be like Jesus. And may we navigate things for what is right and good and pure and holy, and learn how to manage the rest. Let us pray. Gracious God, you do give us examples, beautiful examples of how we navigate difficult things in our lives. May we learn how to take a breath, take a step back, look at all the things that are happening and feeling inside of ourselves so that we can then respond like Jesus would, with love and respect and grace. Help us learn to manage our chimp brains. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing.